Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us to start the show is Dr. Tanja Grimble. She's going to talk about computer science education presented as a sport. The nonprofit STEM It Up Sports is reaching kids and adults with innovative collaborations never dreamed of before. Dr. G, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris, and thank you for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to talking to you about STEM It Up Sports, and not necessarily on a sports tip, but the fact that you are making knowledge about technology available to just about everybody, but specifically for kids. Can you talk about how you got started and what STEM It Up Sports is really all about?
Well, great. I really started STEM It Up Sports with the idea of servicing senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, who is a big fan of yours, by the way, he's passed away. He had a stroke some years back. And so technology was really one of the items that really helped him, you know, keep his cognitive skills in play, right?
Right.
And I started, you know, reading these articles that talked about the more seniors engage in technology, they decrease their chances of Alzheimer's and dementia. And so I just decided that what if we introduce the technology and it be in the form of robotics, and we can teach them how to code? Because when you're doing computer science, there's all these components that are happening in your brain that's just making you think three steps ahead of your coding process, your programming. And that's exactly what the CR, you know, that cognitive response needs for the brain and to keep stimulated as you get older. And so we are on all cylinders with that when we're young and fresh and our mm-hmm. thinking. But as we get older, this starts to, you know, decrease a little bit. And so lo and behold, they loved it. I was teaching, you know, my oldest participant at that time was probably 83.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an NBC special happen, and all of a sudden everyone was calling me about it. And so I said, okay, I got a really great program here that, and I know would sit really well with kids, but it was initially started for senior citizens. And so then that's when STEM It Up Sports just evolved, because we wanted to make sure that everyone has access
right.
to this type of technology. We don't have to start it when something happens or when we're trying to restart the brain. We can start it when the brain is just right on its tipping point and recognize the fact that there's all these jobs that are out here that need people to fill these jobs. And we have to start early with kids so that they can develop and grow and enjoy STEM in a way that hasn't been introduced before to most kids.
This is absolutely amazing. And again, I love the story about you starting with the seniors. And again, I appreciate your dad keeping up with me while he was with us. And it reminds me of my dad. And I want you to give me a parallel or tell me what you think about this. My dad is like 85 right now, and he mm-hmm. is online all the time because he is a historian. I say historian, that's not his day job. He's retired. But he keeps up with all of the different family trees, with all the different families, whether it's my mom's family, his family, our family. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And I think, and he's on Facebook every day for hours. And I'm like, he is staying stimulated mentally, because I'll have conversations with him. He's up to speed with all the, you know, the latest that's going on in the world today. And I think, am I wrong by saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. And he's one of these seniors that actually, you know, he's not out and about as much as he used to be, but he's very much aware.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely correct. I thought one of the great parts of this engagement for technology that I exposed a lot of our seniors in, the unexpected outcome was that they were able to connect with their grandkids on coding.
There you go.
And I wasn't anticipating that, right? I just wanted them to have this kind of fun with technology that they would have never seen, in their lifetime until now, right? And so it was just fascinating to watch their eyes and to see them program something and learn what their JavaScript was and what JavaScript really is, and teach them what binary code is and how to write their name in binary code, and take them on these field trips to see a 3D printer. These are things that a senior told me word for word was that I never thought in my lifetime I would get to see something like this up close and personal.
It's just amazing. And again, I'm just grinning over here because I've been trying to make things, like you said, intergenerational, seniors working with kids and stuff. And I will do speeches, whatever the organization, whether it's schools or whether it's, corporations or whether it's, churches or whatever the group is. And I'm looking at the audience and I will see, older adults over the age of 40. And I'll say something like, you know what, kids today, anybody under the age of 20 is your tech support. And I'll tell them, oh, I already know. You do certain things, but they are the tech support. And then I flip it and I say, but guess what? You got something over them. They can't read or write in cursive.
You are so right about that.
Oh,
There is
yeah.
this.
In other words, I try to make them know that there's some things that you don't know that they know, but there's some things that you know that they don't have any idea about. I call the difference between knowledge and wisdom. The seasoned adults, the seniors, or the adults over the age of 40, they have wisdom because they have the knowledge, but they have something that goes along with the knowledge, which is the experience or the legwork or whatever it is. And so they can apply the knowledge in a better way. So I think it's a hand-in-hand thing, and that's why I love what you're doing. Dr. G, I can't say it enough. I just absolutely love what you're doing. So when you decided to start it all up, you mentioned about your dad. What's your background in particular? Did you get a degree in technology? I mean, tell us a little bit about more about you.
So my background is in I started off in early childhood. So my bachelor's is in early childhood human services,
Okay.
and I have a double minor in psychology and early childhood. And so
Very nice.
that took me around in different spaces and different places of youth and adults at different ages of their lives. So I've worked with YMCA organizations. I've worked with NASA and their childcare facility that they had on staff. And this was around the time when we didn't have internet and we needed to actually come up with activities on our own. And so,
Yeah, I
using
understand.
books, actual books now. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
that's kind of hard for some folks because they'll
The
go to the internet and we didn't have it then.
right. With some
And
of these
so,
kids, you had to give them the cat in the hat.
yes, I had you we had to use real books. And so I was working at NASA and doing STEM activities. At the time, it wasn't called STEM, it was just science activities. And that's when my love for curriculum instruction came into play. And so I knew that I wanted to get my master's, but I knew it was going to be in early childhood because I feel like when you start young, you're able to capture their interest and you can feed that interest all the way up into their high school, their high school equivalencies, right? And I just decided, okay, you know what? This is not going to be enough if I got to reach these kids, because representation matters. I think what's important, what I thought was important, was that I be in the spaces that would allow me to create and bring something like what they're offering to communities that are in low income areas or that would never have an opportunity. And I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. So once I decided that was the route I wanted to go, I went and re received my doctorate in curriculum and instruction. And I specialize in STEM. My focus is in STEM, and my doctoral dissertation was in STEM. And so that just meant STEM was going to be the focus that I needed to be in. And that meant I needed to study every facets of it, the science, the technology, the engineering, the math part of it, even, associating how we like to put art into it. all of those areas I needed to study and make sure that I was up to date. And I'm always current, looking for current information that just keeps us current as we're in the field. So when I go to these locations where kids are seeing my robots for the first time and in the program that we provide, it always gives me joy when it's exciting for them to see a woman come through the door, a Black woman come through the door, a doctor, because many of them say to me, the only doctor I know is the doctor I see when I go to the doctor's office, right? They don't know of any other doctors. So that, again, that representation matters. And then they flip it and they say, why did you come to us?
Yeah,
Why
why are
come
you
to us?
here? Yeah, why are you here?
Why would they matter? And I'm saying to them, why wouldn't you matter? Why wouldn't I come to you? You are just as deserving of this type of service
Thank you.
as anyone else that would have paid a lot of money for this type of service, And so that really motivates me every time I walk out the door, every time I wake up, is making sure I'm giving them something they've never seen before, And that was the moment when I was like, okay, this is the area that I'm in. This is the space that I like to be in. And so that's the one I stay in,
This is just amazing. I love your story. So you were down in Houston working for NASA?
Yes. Yeah. I
Okay.
worked in Houston, in at the NASA Ed White Youth Center. And then I transferred from there to the YMCAs in Houston. And worked there for about 7 years, doing childcare, doing camps, working with youth, helping them career readiness kind of programs. And then I got an opportunity to go and work for the Youth Opportunity Movement in Tampa, Florida. Now, this was under the Clinton administration. So what was really great about this project was that we were taking children that were either incarcerated or dropped out of school, and we were getting them back into the system. So that meant I was
Excellent.
on the ground, I was boots on the ground, or I was at, juvenile detentions and helping students learn that they can get their GED while they were in prison. If they were checking out of prison, I was there to greet them and take them to a new way of living and get them to their GED classes or their college admissions. That's what we were about. So every time you hear, you would hear Clinton, Hillary Clinton talk about the numbers of students and what they did for trade, that was us.
Oh,
We
okay.
provided those numbers with that Youth Opportunity Movement. And so it was probably one of the greatest moments of my life is watching these youth come out of the streets and get back into school.
I can imagine. I mean, this is it, it it's this is what, believe it or not, this is what it's all about, helping others and watching them succeed. This is what educators get. I mean, I consider you
Yeah.
more than an educator, but you are an educator because, and I when I speak to kids, I tell them, I said, the teachers don't get paid enough. They're not here because of the money. They're here
Yeah.
because they actually get something out of watching you succeed. They in their hearts, the empathy in their hearts is like, wow. And so when you come back to see them years later, it really makes their day. I could talk to you all day, Dr. J. I got to say this too. You mentioned the part about NASA, and a lot of people think about the movie Hidden Figures. I'm going to tell you something, tell you two things. One, all three of my kids, their school had field trips to down to NASA, and then they would go over to Galveston Island for a little bit. And I went with them on these field trips, and I was always impressed with NASA because, believe it or not, when I was a little kid, before I even thought about being on the radio, and I started on the radio when I was 14, I wanted to be an astronaut. I kid you not. I wanted to be an astronaut, and I wanted to do all those things. And then all of a sudden, my head got swiveled around being on the radio, and that led to a different course. But I've always been, passionate about, technology and the different things that you do. So I'm listening to you talk, and I am just grinning because you have done a lot of different things to change a lot of kids' lives, and that's what's important. And also extend their families' lives by making technology available to seniors. And so let me say one last thing here before we continue, because I got to reintroduce you to those who might be just tuning in. We're talking with Dr. Tanja Grimble about computer science and her nonprofit, Her nonprofit organization called STEM It Up Sports. The mission is to motivate youth to analyze the collaboration of STEM. And for those who don't know what STEM is, that's science, technology, engineering, and math. Did I say that right?
Yep, you sure did.
The core components with primary focus on incorporation of technology designed to encourage originality, promote the design thinking process, build self-confidence, and strengthen leadership qualities.
Yes.
I mean, it's a nonprofit, so you've been able to partner with a lot of different people. The one I'm most impressed with, how in the world did you hook up with Google and their Grow with Google program, which offers the resources for nonprofit organizations to teach people digital skills? How did that happen?
Well, so I, like many organizations, applied and just explained how we're trying to reach youth. And how we're trying, what they have, we need. So my program starts as young as four and can go all the way up to, you know, my oldest participant is 101.
Okay.
And so
101.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You said that so quick. My ears perked up. My granny is 102. And anytime somebody's talking about a senior that's a centurion, I just like, whoa, you got a 101-year-old participant?
Yes, and she was coding, so she knew how to code.
Oh my
and
goodness. I'm just grinning. This is crazy.
Yeah, I had her when she was 100. I went back and saw her again this past summer. She was 101. And I was like, I just want to come back next summer and hope you're 102. So we are, you know, we're definitely breaking records here. And she was just, her name is Elaine, and she's just phenomenal. But she could code. And, you know, this last time around when we saw her, you know, her hands were a little shaky, but we were able to, you know, use a different robot for her and, you know, modify it. And she just absolutely loved it. Didn't even want to let the robot go. But,
wow.
You know, that's when you know you've got a really great program when they're so excited that they can't wait to see you to come back. And so the program we do with them is a 3-day program, and they do prior learning each day so that we can strengthen the cognitive responses and their memory, right? Because dementia, it all forms off memory. So every day they come in, we repeat the same thing to see if they know it and then apply it, and then we add something new. So it's a 3-day session for about, you know, 2 hours. And that's just enough time for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we basically, when we talked with Google, I told them all of that. And I think that's what attracted them the most about doing this partnership. And they do it with many other organizations too,
sure.
But we were specifically on STEM focus.
Mm-hmm.
So they provide certifications for 13 and up. And what we want to try to do is get our youth engaged in these type of certifications so that they can use it for college credit. They can get up to 15 hours of college credit if they take these certifications. It won't affect their GPA if they decide they want to do it, because it's all separate. They can really get really great jobs and internships in the summer with these certifications.
Okay.
And it's a certification that they hold on to for even when they're in college, and they can use that in their resume to get even bigger jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one avenue we wanted it for. The other avenue is for the young adult that doesn't know what career path they want to start in.
Right.
And so this is an opportunity to help them reset, right? And if they can reset and do a certification without having to go all the way back to college to get something, then this is the best thing for them. And
hold on right a minute, because you're rolling with this great information. I want people to step back and listen to you carefully. You're basically saying, if you're Gen Z or if you're the parent of a Gen Z, we're talking about someone probably between the ages of 18 and 25 or 30, these kids graduated from college or graduated from high school, hadn't decided what they really want to do yet. It's a gig economy. They're door dashing or Uber Eats or Ubering or whatever they're doing, and they still hadn't quite made up their mind yet. And what you're doing is saying, wait a minute, we can help you focus on something that you really would like to do, and it's not necessarily a 9-to-5 cookie cutter corporate job or business, you know, the plant, working at the plant like your grandma. I mean,
yep.
I love what you're saying. So say that again.
So definitely what it does for them is it helps them reset and think
Yes.
about what else can I do that allows me to do some flexibility with my employment. Like, you know, now we have, you know, a lot of folks that want to work from home, or
right.
they want to, you know, they don't want to do these long commutes. Well, some of these STEM careers that are out here, which involve coding or IT or cybersecurity, data analysts, they work from home.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that opportunity for them to make a lot of money doing this type of job, but not have to have all the expenses that come with it when it comes to traveling and that sitting in the traffic all day, you know, that kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. You basically have the flexibility to have a life. You don't have
exactly.
to, like I said, 9 to 5. When they say 9 to 5, it's really like 7 o'clock to 6:30. Because you got the traffic,
yes.
You got to get up, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to make sure you get there at 9. So a lot of corporations are learning, you know, in this economy and with technology, we got to keep our best people, or we got to get the best people. And to compete, you got to have a flexible work week.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And that's what, because our partnership with Google, we're able to, we received 500 scholarships.
Nice.
And we're able to provide these certifications for free.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
So let me say this again, because there are people probably, even if they're in their car, they're pulling over, if they're at home, they said, wait a minute, let me type this up and save it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
StemItUpSports.com can provide this education, so to speak, for free?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they just fill out an application. And then we give them access to the courses that the STEM courses that we offer, and they sign up for them and go in and start working at their own pace in their home, or they can come to one of our centers and actually do it in our computer lab. But we'll also be offering workshops, free workshops they can attend that's sponsored by the city of Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
We'll offer, you know, job fairs that are sponsored by the city of Mansfield because we have a partnership with them. And it just really gives them an opportunity to talk to a lot of employers, even in the Mansfield area or the Tarrant County area, that are interested in the type of jobs that they're getting certifications for.
This is absolutely amazing. And how long have you been around doing this with STEM It Up Sports? How long has it been active?
So this is going to blow your mind, Chris, but we are going on 2 years, March the 7th this year.
You better be glad I'm sitting down, because I would have fell over. I would have been thinking, oh, you're 10 years deep or 15 years deep. First of all, you've got the experience to have set this thing up. But where you are right now, we mentioned the Google partnership. You've got more partnerships in the city of Mansfield. You also have a partnership, or actually you're a participant in the Microsoft Nonprofit Tech Acceleration Program. Can you tell me about that piece of the puzzle?
Yes. So this is for people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening with this is that because I'm a Black-owned minority business, they wanted to ensure that we, you know, we're a business that could reach even more minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a business owner, or if you're a student, or if you're, you know, just someone that's trying to, that needs, you know, need tools,
mm-hmm.
you can come to us, and the tools that we provide you for free through Microsoft allows you to have all of their tools, which are, you know, PowerPoint, Word, Excel, you know, the whole, you don't have to pay the package to have these things. We can be able to have, give this to you for free. And we also can set up an actual email address for you so that you can operate your business. And so that is a really great thing for a small business trying to start off, or someone who has a small little, you know, baking little business, and I
sure.
don't really know yet where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to pay all the money to, you know, make myself look official. And receive this until I know I'm going to make it, right?
Mm-hmm,
and that's just the real talk, because this stuff is not cheap.
Right.
And you want to give them the best effort forward. And it's really for minorities, people of color that are interested. And that's what that partnership is for Microsoft.
Fantastic. I mean, it's like you're covering all the bases. And I got to
Yeah.
bring this up because I want to know, pull the curtain back a little bit, and maybe you can tell me something. When you decided to name it, Stem It Up Sports, did you think of the sports part of it? Because there's so many people, not just kids, who are gamers. They're into esports.
So I thought of Stem It Up Sports because a tech sport is what I wanted to promote more than anything. And that means this is the kid that doesn't do an analog sport. They're all about a tech. They can't play soccer. They don't like to play football. Anything that's physical contact, they're like, no, that's not me. But they want to use their brain in a way that's a sport relation. Then that's what tech sport is,
In a
right?
competitive way. They're competitive.
Right.
They might be competitive, but they're not like going out there on football fields or basketball courts or baseball diamonds or hockey rinks. They're like competitive, but they want to use their brain to be competitive.
Yes. And that's one of the things that we don't actually give a lot of credit to those students that do that. Like they'll come home, saying, hey, I won this robotic competition, but their school doesn't even know about it because they may not come home with a trophy to put in a trophy case. It's not like and so we wanted to change the game on that. When you come to one of our competitions, our Sphero Global Challenge competitions that you participate in, if you place in the top, the top, you're the first team and you're number one in your division, you get a trophy and medals, right? So now you can take that trophy home or back to your school and just, brag about your success and you still get a medal, right? And now the school recognizes you and your talents. And so we just want to make sure that they get recognized for that part of it because there's a lot of tech in sports. There's a lot of math and STEM in
Oh my
sports. I
goodness,
mean,
that nowadays, because I do a sports talk show, you've got to know the analytics. Because
Yes.
I mean, you just can't talk about what you just saw on the field of play or what these guys are doing, but you got to back this up with their individual stats or their plus minuses. Or I could go on and on and on. And guess what? The athletes themselves know that about themselves as well. Back in the day, athletes didn't, and the coaches didn't necessarily know about the tech or the analytics that go along with this, the
Yes.
performances, but they're trying to maximize their efforts. So what you're saying is like right on point.
And we try to relate the things that we do with robots to sports. For example, we have a robotic football league.
Really?
And yeah, it's like a 5-on-5 robots. And you have to code them to have a, like an offensive and a defensive play. And they also have to have a collision code that mimics an actual tackle. And so they actually play that, and that really helps them, understand a little bit about the sport. And because I require that they have an actual, player from a football team help them with plays so that now the football person understands a little bit about code, and now the coder understands a little bit about football. So
See,
there's
that's
this real
brilliant.
harmony that goes
That is
together,
so
right?
brilliant.
Yes. And so we had some former NFL players come and actually talk to them about the game and the math that goes in it and help them understand the offensive and defensive plays. And when they finally started doing their actual game, I remember seeing the frustration in one kid that said, how we got to know what their code is so that we can be able to code a defense against it. And I said, well, son, you won't get to know that in the real world because no one shares their offensive plays in a
Exactly.
real game,
I'm telling you that they always try to get an advantage, a competitive advantage. They're not telling their secrets. They're not going to tell you
Right.
what they're
And he
going
didn't
to
understand that.
run. I
He didn't
love it.
understand that. He really was trying to, win, but he didn't understand. I gotta know what their play is. I'm like, no, you'll never know what the play is, even in the real game. So it really helped him understand the game of football. And believe it or not, some of those kids started watching the football, right? And then let me take you to basketball, because this was a really good one. We have a way that we can, code the robots to do passing drills and and also do dribbling. And there's some matrix animation that they can design a ball dribbling on the actual micro bit that's on the robot. And one of the things I was telling one of the students, I said, well, you got to think about this. If you got a player that's dribbling down the court and he has someone already at the goal and he's coming at a rate speed of, let's say he's going about 30 miles an hour in his run. How much force does he have to give that ball to get to the person that's underneath the net just so that he can be able to make it? And he's got to watch all the people around him to make sure they don't intercept it, right? And so he goes, the kid says to me, he says, I never thought about basketball like that. And I said, well, it's all happening simultaneously, and you don't know, you don't understand at that time the math is happening, but it
It
is.
is. It is. And it'll be reviewed. Put it like this. It's amazing knowledge, and that's what the world is becoming about. You want to maximize your knowledge. You want to be efficient with the knowledge because you want to have a better performance. The bottom line is the performance of it all, right? Whether
That's
whatever,
right.
whether it's sports or whether it's, a skill set or whether it's just learning about things, you want to maximize it and to be efficient with your performance. Dr. G, this
Yes.
is just astounding. So I got to go. Now I'm going to go somewhere else with you since I
Okay.
got you here. What do you say to people who may be afraid of or have a fear of AI or robots in the world changing on them? Because there's a lot of people who fear change.
Yes. So AI, I'm also a professor too, okay? And I usually have students that like to turn in AI assignments. And I, while I love that AI can help them write better, I don't want AI to write their entire paper.
Oh, yeah, you're
Okay.
talking about
So,
ChatGPS. I know where you're going.
yes,
The shortcut.
that's right. So I just decided not to get upset when they are using it. I just changed my method of assessing them. And that went more toward presentation mode. And because you can't AI a presentation,
No,
okay?
that's you doing it yourself right there in front of the crowd or in front of the group or in front of you.
That's right. That's exactly right. You can't AI that. And in the real world, performance is everything. In the workplace, it's all about performance. Yes, there is some paperwork on the back end, but that can easily be remedied. But it's really about the performance you provide and even presentations that you provide to your executives or leaders or whoever. So that's really what we ought to be assessing. So when I hear my counterparts or my colleagues say, this AI is killing us and we got to figure out a way to stop it. And I'm thinking, let's just change the game. That's my theory on it.
I love
And
that.
my other thought too, Chris, is that AI is not anything to be feared. It's not taking our jobs. We still need people to code them, okay? We still need people to code AI. Everything continues to develop. So we're going to still need those people in those roles. AI is not a physical person. So therefore, it can't take over any type of job that requires physical, instruction, just like my robotics. I can't use AI to teach it to kids. So that I don't have that initial fear because I'm in the STEM world, but I can understand how those that are not would have that fear and wouldn't understand where is it going, right? Because it can go a lot of ways. Well, let's try to use AI to solve problems, like a cure for cancer.
Exactly.
A
Exactly.
cure A cure for how we can, eliminate hunger for certain areas, how we can make certain things grow when there's an off season. What are some things we can do to grass to prevent wildfires? Like these are things we need to use AI for rather than focusing on the negatives that it can provide.
I love this information. I love your knowledge. I love the way you present it on this show. Before we get
Thank
out
you.
of here, is there
Yes.
anything else I haven't asked you about as it pertains to STEM It Up Sports that you want to make sure all of our listeners hear?
Well, yes, I do want to make sure that all of our listeners know we are a worldwide organization. We currently provide computer science programming competitions across the United States and several countries right now.
Wow, based out
And
of Mansfield, Texas.
you're based out of Mansfield, right here in Texas, your very own, right? And this is really through our partnership with Spiro. Spiro is an educational company that actually builds the robots that we use. People might have seen these robots. They made the robots for Star Wars, so this is
Look
quality
out.
material. that we're using, and students have it in a way that just allows them to be very innovative with their code. What I love about this partnership is how well we can concentrate our passions on ensuring that all kids have access. That's the number one word that I use everywhere is the access, right? And what we're trying to
I call
tell,
that the greatest currency in the world.
isn't it?
It really
Isn't
is.
it?
Because
It really is.
that's what everybody really wants.
Yes, they want access. And it doesn't have to be so expensive that it marks people out. It's just really about providing access that's quality. And as long as that quality access is available to kids, that's what we're going to provide on a regular basis. We're always looking for partners who want to engage or be volunteer, donate, provide us any type of opportunity that we can to collaborate and do things together, as much as possible. We're always looking for that. We're also looking at, we have a STEM center that we provide robotics and instruction to. Esports is one of our big things. So we also just recently, love our partnership with the Mavs Foundation and doing some things with them. That's exciting. But anytime we can have experts in the field come and talk to our kids, we're actually providing a real world application process for them to actually comprehend these are the jobs I can go into.
Where is it located?
So I'm always looking for those type of people, Chris. I'm always looking for any kind of partner that would love to jump on board and just ride this wagon with us. When we're doing these competitions, we're looking for food, national food sponsors, so that we can eliminate, food insecurities and keep the pricing for what we do low, because we don't want our kids to be worried about their meals. We want them to come and compete.
Exactly. And where can people find out more information? Is it stemitupsports.com?
Yes, they can go to stemitupsports.com. They can look at us on all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We're everywhere, and we're providing you all kinds of information on a regular basis.
Dr. G, it's been a pleasure with this conversation. We must have you back on the show again soon,
Yeah.
because like I said, I could just talk to you on and on and on, and your message is so succinct and it's so sincere. Again, we're talking with Dr. Tanja Grimble about computer science and, of course, stemitupsports.com. Thanks, Dr. Grimble.
Thank you.
And joining us now is my buddy Danny Noah with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Danny, you're not even in Dallas today. I appreciate you joining us. Where are you?
I'm down here in Orlando. We have our Fellowship of Christian Athletes National International Conference. So every person connected with our staff nationally and worldwide, we're all coming down here together and just for a great time of fellowship. And fun. And yeah, it's a great time. Everyone's converging right
You
now, arriving from the airport. We're getting ready to go.
are all re you're always somewhere. I think I just saw you last weekend at the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame banquet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I saw you as well. First time to come to that. Great event. I'm looking forward to connecting with that again. And I talked to some of their leadership, and we got to be involved with that in some
Oh,
way.
yeah.
It's just too many common, co too much common vision there to miss out on that. But yeah, it was a great event.
Yeah, congratulations again to all the inductees and of course all of the members of the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame and their staff and Dr. Harry Robinson at the African American Museum. I got a pleasure emceeing that thing again for the last 5 years, and I think Nate Newton and Robert Pack were some of the inductees.
Yes.
It's
Yep.
it was basically a who's who, and they've had so many, I mean, so many athletes from the state of Texas, sports figures too, coaches, the whole nine yards. I'm fortunate enough to be a journalist that they inducted in 2019. So I'm like, man, this is just a great occasion. And as you mentioned before, you were there, but you get around on so many different things. Right now you're in Orlando. Tell us what's going to happen in Orlando and what you specifically going to do besides fellowship, because you're the best at this, and you're at all these different campuses in Dallas. I don't know where you sleep. I don't know when you sleep because you're always out and about. First, tell us again, elaborate more, a little bit about Orlando and what's going to get accomplished there. And then I want you to tell me about your Super Bowl trip too.
Very cool. Man, this is just we do this gathering every 2 years for all of our staff. Man, FCA is so intentional about pouring in to those that serve and give. And so we have people that from serving again all over the nation, all over the world. We actually had a conference in the last few days for those who serve on our staff internationally to pour into them, do some things specific to them, and then we will all gather for some great time. I mean, they got a basketball court, a pickleball court, a volleyball court. Anything FCA does, there's got to be competition. And so, Chris, if you're walking in the lobby, you see a lot of athletes. They don't want to be called former athletes, but they're all over the place and they're ready to show a little bit what they got. I just saw former NFL alumni Steve Fitchu, mm-hmm. played for the Broncos. He's heavily engaged with us. And then saw Coach Les Steckel, who was the coach for Minnesota.
Yes.
When they were one, the Titans, when they were 1 yard short. He was the head coach of Minnesota, but the OC for the Titans when they ended up 1 yard short in the Super Bowl. So that's just, I just saw those. I everyone's not here yet, but we're just gathering, encouraging. We're going to have fun. And we're just going to try to fill the tank of our staff. And for once, I'm just showing up. I don't have any responsibility, but just to receive, which is a great blessing. Because as you said, we're always going and just going to be sitting in the room and hearing some phenomenal speakers. Tony Dungy.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Tony Evans are on our agenda.
Yeah, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
Fellowship, yep. And Coach Dungy's been connected with our ministry for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. And so those are just a few. There are always some surprises, usually pull in some local athletes to come in and share. So it's always, yeah, we never know. Never know who's going to.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Be there. As you say, Chris, you never know.
You never know. And again, you do so many things all of the time. I got to bring this up real quick about Tony Dungy. Because a lot of people may not know this, but back in the day when Michael Vick was incarcerated because he had this dogfighting operation, it was Tony Dungy that helped turn his life around and get him back into the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's just a great example, Chris, of good things that are happening that mm-hmm. you don't hear about. You know, Tony's very private, very intentional to do things like that. And that's probably, I'm going to guess, just one that we know a little bit
that
of.
That we know of, yeah, because he's real quiet about stuff.
Yeah, just, you know, anyone, the people that I've talked to, even some of the chaplains that worked with him when he was with the Colts, just talk about, you know, the dynamic and the culture that he established with that team. Very soft-spoken, but very powerful in his heart to serve athletes and former athletes and just in the entire sports culture.
Okay, so let's go back a couple of weeks. You were there Super Bowl weekend, and I know you are one of the best networkers. People talking, you mixing and mingling, but nowadays they call it networking. You know, you get ahead, you get to know people, you are one of the best networkers ever. Not just sports, not just ever, because you get around and everybody likes to talk with you. So when you were at the Super Bowl that weekend, tell us some of the things that you were getting into and spreading the word.
Well, Chris, I actually did not get to go to the Super Bowl.
What? I thought you were
yeah,
there.
I have never been to the Super Bowl.
You're
never,
kidding.
Ever been.
Am I confusing this with the Pro Football Hall of Fame extravaganza in Canton?
Yeah. That's where I get to go. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about which one is better. What's the football fan's greatest experience? And I said, well, I haven't been to the Super Bowl, so I can't tell you, but I can tell you about the Hall of Fame. That's a game changer. So,
well, you've been around enough to meet and greet and know so many different people, and I just assumed that you were there because I think you sent me a text talking about the different guys going into the class of 2024, and I'm like, okay, because I knew that you're going to be on top of that, and then we're also talking about a couple of guys who did not quite make it, and hopefully they'll make it sooner, including the great Darren Woodson, the former linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, still the all-time leader in tackles there. So some of your thoughts about, you know, some of those guys who are going in this year or some of the things you were texting me about.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the week, that Super Bowl week is when they make the announcement of those that had gone in. And as you know, Tim Brown, former NFL great, Hall of Famer, Dallas
Heisman
Dallas
Trophy
guy.
Winner.
You know, we were texting back and forth, and I was just trying to get a read on who he thought. And he, one of the first he let me know, he goes, I heard Eric Allen didn't make it. And of course, that's a former teammate of his. We did not know at that time if Darren Woodson was going to go in. Did know that, I guess Andre Johnson from the Texans, he said he was pretty sure he was going in because they actually contacted Tim about going and knocking on the door. And yeah, man, it's always interesting. There's a lot of people outside of just that world that do not understand what the expectations are of a Hall of Famer. You know, sometimes it's stats, sometimes it's timing of when they played, how many Super Bowls they were part of. You know, even someone like Jimmy Johnson that's in, you know, he had a very short but very impactful NFL coaching career.
Yeah, he created the team of the decade with the Cowboys in the 1990s, and he was only – I think he was only in the league with the Cowboys and the Dolphins. I think it was a grand total of maybe 5 or 6 years, 7 years at
if
the most.
You look at, if you look at Coach Johnson's resume, every head coaching place he's been, he's not been there over 4 years.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, so and he did say the when he came back to coach the Dolphins that that was his. If he looked back now, he probably wouldn't have done that. But it was just an opportunity to be where he was.
Yeah, down there in Florida, the Keys, and Miami.
Get to that boat after. I don't know if he went to boat after practice because he's a workaholic.
Probably, you know, he is workaholic.
Yeah,
and in fact, for Cowboy fans who can say, "Hey, they need Jimmy to come back." Jimmy's in his 80s, and Jimmy says, "I'm not that same guy. I don't have that same intensity anymore. You gotta almost be ruthless sometimes." Back in the, he said, "I can't do that like that no more." But he is, he is real tight with Jerry again, and he says that Jerry's been calling him up even after that loss to Green Bay, just to pick his brain and ask him questions. So he's on that unofficial advisory board that Jerry likes to talk to people about.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious, how that will benefit the Cowboys, and really curious to see what Coach Zimmer is going to bring the table. We know it's going to be intense, and we know that there's going to be some guys that they haven't functioned like that since they've been with the Cowboys. It's going to be a whole new thing. But I think we need that shot.
I think it's a balancing thing now. Now you got good cop, Coach McCarthy, and now you got, I say bad cop, but you got that intensity of like, be more responsible. I'm going to take, you might not like me now, but you're going to thank me later.
Yeah.
So let's talk some more about FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Danny, you got some stuff coming up in the month of March.
Yeah. And literally, Chris, we're going to hit it hard here in March as far as things related to the community, serving young athletes, serving coaches, starting in March. And we are going to be doing the first that I know that we've done locally, a coaching clinic for just youth football leagues. Chris, you probably know this as well as I do. There's a lot of guys that invest time in those kids.
Yes, they do.
And pour into their lives. But most of them have never been to any kind of coaching clinic. They may have played for a great coach. Logan could have played for Coach Samples or Coach James or any of these coaches, but have never had that opportunity. And so we're partnering with SMU, TCU. We have some people who are no longer coaching, but are in the working with Chick-fil-A. They're going to come in and they're going to pour into them. One, we're going to encourage them. Yes, we know you know how to teach some of the skills, but do you know how to frame that mind in the right way? And ultimately, do you know how to capture the heart? Mm-hmm. And we have this saying, if you haven't captured their heart, you have no business messing with their mind. Mm-hmm. And we call that 3D coaching on all three levels, the skills, the mind, and the heart. And so in March, every Wednesday night in March, we're going to be doing that. We'll be doing it right at what most people in Dallas know, sunny South Dallas, Pearl C. Anderson Middle School. It's been closed. But a local church had been gifted that property, and they are turning that into a community outreach, doing a lot of physicals for the local teams there. And so we're jumping in wherever there's a field, wherever there's a coach, and wherever there's a basketball goal, that's where we want to be, Chris. And that is an opportunity for us to serve those coaches, the most influential people in our community, mm-hmm. serve them. Then in April, we're going to do a youth football camp for these kids. And we are working with a local team there, the Dallas Tigers. You got a lot of former Lincoln Tigers that are coaching with that group. And there's a lady there that is just a legend as far as youth and community sports there with football. And so we are serving their team. We're engaging the NFL alumni, mm-hmm. are going to be out helping us with that and some of their team. It's just a great opportunity for us, just like from a athletic dynamic of a feeder pattern from the elementary to the middle school to the high school. You know, the feeder pattern athletically is important. We believe the feeder pattern spiritually is even more important. So we can expose them to FCA at that age. We mostly have targeted just middle school and high school from a school sports dynamic, right. or mm-hmm. interscholastic dynamic. But now we're really, really reaching into that youth club and league. We now have a division that is elite and pro. And so we brought on some staff that are former pro athletes, nationally now on our staff. You know, they know the life. They get it.
Yeah.
They understand the challenges, and we're even advancing into all abilities, motor sports. Chris, the only thing left is, you know, sports entertainment.
And, that's the next frontier. It's going to happen. I'm sure it is.
And we have utilized, I know, your story on the soap opera of professional wrestling, but we've got Sting, that's about to retire,
hey.
And he has come and done some things for us locally. And his son, mm-hmm. Was involved with the FCA and as a collegiate athlete. So, mm-hmm. man, yeah, I threw a lot at you, but we are trying to touch every coach and every athlete, and present them the gospel and use their influence to reach others.
You guys do such an amazing job. And let's bring up the golf thing again, because you guys were providing some golf clinics this last summer, and I'm sure you got something coming up this summer as well.
We will have this will be our fourth year, mm-hmm. In June 5th and 6th to do a golf camp specific to the South Dallas community. Chris, we had the conversation. Most of the kids in that Dallas ISD funnel, if you will, have never had the opportunity to learn the game of golf. You know, there's plenty of basketball camps, there's plenty of football camps, mm-hmm. But I don't know of any other camp that's specific to golf where we're focusing on those basic skills so they actually can be competitive and give them the opportunity even to get a golf scholarship. There are more golf scholarships available out there that go unused, and so it gives us the opportunity to also provide some resources, some awareness to their coaches of what's out there, but just to give them some basic golf skills. And one of my favorite pieces to that camp, obviously, Chris, is that we get to do that absolutely for free. Our sponsors, man, come and play with that. And we have churches in and out of the community, business in and out of that community that invest in that. But the biggest win to me is when that sponsor writes the check, but then comes out and jumps in the golf cart with the kids and enjoys it. You know, we got guys that get on any course in Dallas, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
But they enjoy coming out. And, Chris, it may not be the best golf, but you can't beat the opportunity to serve a kid and just let them hear more about FCA and what we're doing in the community. And it's a great funnel for us as we go back into the schools. If we don't have FCA established at a school, it gives us a springboard to be able to do that.
And where's it going to
be? Dallas ISD works with us and helps us promote that through their golf coaches.
Excellent. As like I said, it's part of the ISD program. I appreciate you bringing that up as well. Is it going to be the same place again?
Same place, the golf club of Dallas.
Yep, right off of Redbird.
And we'll do our little our breakfast on the second day that, you know, allows people to come out and hear a little bit more about FCA. Mm-hmm. We're going to honor some local coaches. I can't tell you who that is yet, but we're very excited about just recognizing some of the coaches that have made an investment locally. And we just, again, opportunity to tell our story and then let people see what is taking place. We're looking out the window, seeing the golf camp in action. Mm-hmm. And so we're again privileged to do that fourth year. We're looking to throw some new little twist, create a little bit more competition in that event, and hopefully just continue to grow that from where it started to even greater opportunities.
Again, Danny, you are just so well connected. I mean, you're covering all this ground. I don't know when you sleep. At the same time, it's so rewarding. Can you talk again about how you even got started in this?
So years ago, I was a youth pastor in Oak Cliff area, Dallas. Mm-hmm. We built a gym. I started a basketball team. I had a lot of kids that could not get on the court at Kimball High School because they were winning state championships. But these guys wanted to play basketball. And, you know, if you've ever been to Sprague or Forrester or Lowe's, there's a lot of coaching from the stands, like nowhere else. PC Cobb, but you know that's what they want to play some round ball. And just long story short, there was a guy on the team that did not get offered athletic scholarship with his sport. Every other player on that team were D1 prospects, all lived right there at Keystone Polk in Oak Cliff, and he attempted suicide. And thank goodness he was unsuccessful, but that allowed me to go and have a conversation with the head football coach at Kimball High School, the late, great James Jones. His name is on the trophy for the Oak Cliff Super Bowl every year. And he allowed me to come in and just begin to pour in to his student athletes. And that was the highlight of my week, getting out of the office, getting on campus, and just being able to be a presence to help these student athletes understand their purpose beyond the field and the court. And understand that man, God has given them so much more, but to use those athletic abilities and everything that they've learned there to make an impact. And so there was some transition within FCA in that area, and my name came into play, and I was blessed to step right in and do what I was already doing, but do it all the time. And so we've continued to serve the South Dallas community with FCA for over 18 years. And Chris, you know, if we've been around, some of those kids are now some of the people are leaders in the community. And a lot of those student athletes that played for Kimball back in the day are now coaching in Dallas ISD. You got three of them on staff over at South Oak Cliff that were directly impacted
back
by
back.
Our ministry. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, man, it's when you get to do something that you enjoy, you never work a day in your life. And I've had that privilege even before FCA for 30 plus years to be in that community and just be present in that. Chris, you know, it's not always that these communities are underserved. They're just understayed. And
true.
Just the opportunity to be consistent and just stay there and be faithful and to serve. So it's truly a blessing.
It really, really is. And again, you've met and had the pleasure of working with so many interesting people, let alone famous people. But one of the most famous people you've had some relationships with is former Cowboys coach Tom Landry, the late, great Tom Landry. Could you give us a Tom Landry FCA story?
You know, I never had the opportunity to meet Coach Landry, but really being part of FCA in Dallas, Coach Landry did start the ministry
while he
was still coaching. And even nationally, he had a great impact on how our ministry has grown and awareness to that. But I will tell you, the coach that I did get to meet, who was Coach Landry's right-hand man, was Coach Jim Myers. Coach,
that's right, the offensive line coach. Yep.
Yeah, offensive line coach. And, I mean, Coach Myers was a voice just promoting FCA at our golf tournaments. He told those former Cowboys, you better be here at the tournament. And so I remember – the first year on staff, I'm looking to my right, Billy Joe Dupree, Tony Dorsett, Preston Pearson. I mean, you name them, D.D. Lewis, and just all of these old Cowboys that I watched as a kid are coming to be a part of this ministry that I had just became a part of as a staff. And just to see year after year, Coach Myers encouraging people to be engaged, to hear the stories, talk to Coach Landry's wife, Alicia, and sit across the table from her and her just share with me. She called him Tommy.
Yeah.
Always was talking about what Tommy did and Tommy did that. And just that, what a blessing it's been to know the Landry family. I'm really, really, really close with his son, who he looks just like him, Tom
sure
Gina,
does.
Tom Jr. and Tom Gina. And they have really stayed connected with the ministry. Tom Jr. serves on our endowment board. And then they personally invest back into what we're doing in South Dallas County. A lot of people don't know that, but they are part of what we're doing and good friends. and continue to be a blessing to what FCA is doing in the community.
Well, you keep doing the great work that you're doing, connecting people and like I said, affecting lives, because everybody needs, you know, some inspiration, and you're there for them. Danny Noah, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, joining us via Zoom in Orlando. Before you go, what do you expect to get out of Orlando again? You guys gonna get some things done and spread the word?
Well, I tell you, we're doing that. We're just, again, pouring into our staff, and then they have definitely created some gaps for us. There's a golf course on campus. It's beautiful. So some golf, I'm sure some folks are going to sneak over to Disney and Epcot, and this will be a great time for our staff to feel validated, to feel poured into and be encouraged. You know, we have staff all over the state, all over the nation, all over the world, and some of them are feel like they're on an island. And so this is just a reminder that Team FCA is one of the strongest teams in the nation and in the world, and we are in this for the long haul.
Danny, we appreciate you. You know I'm going to get you back on again real soon. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.